Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
It's time for the Holy Manna radio broadcast with Brother Byron Chesney, pastor at Highland Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, Brother Byron will be bringing you some truths from God's holy word. So have your Bible ready and follow along with Brother Byron.
If you have your copy of God's Word, if you turn to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 4, and let's look at verses 1 through 10 this morning. Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. And when you get there, if you're able to stand, please stand for the reading of God's Word. And here the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe, a man. And command you them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and you shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe, a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then you shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan, and the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest, which bear the ark of the covenant, stood, and they are there unto this day. And the priest, which bear the ark, stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished, that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over." Father, we thank you for the scripture reading this morning. I'm praying now you help us. Lord, just be here in a mighty way, and we'll give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Well, we pick up this story this morning immediately following a pivotal moment in the history of the children of Israel. Now, we've been following along with them for the past 40 years as God allowed Moses to lead them out of Egypt's bondage. They were captives in Egypt, working as slaves for Pharaoh. To the Lord called Moses. You remember him standing there at that burning bush and speaking to Moses, telling him to get his shoes off, his own holy ground. And then we watched God as he progressed through his plan to deliver his children. And he had promised their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he promised them a land, the land of promise, the land of Canaan, where they would dwell and where they would live in, we call it paradise, a place that God would bless them in. Well, by this time, as the story picked up this morning, Moses has already died. He'd already been taken up to the top of Mount Nebo as God allowed him to look out over the land of promise. He never got to enter in there, but he only saw it from afar. And then Moses, his eyes closed in death, and God buried him. So now his commander-in-chief, Joshua, the mighty warrior, faithful man, only one of two men that came from the original tribes that left Egypt that are going into the promised land. Only him and Caleb were allowed to go into this new land. The others perished in the wilderness because of their disbelief, because of their disobedience. But here we find this man, Joshua, the son of Nun, the Bible often speaks of. Moses named him Joshua. He is the leader here of the children of Israel, and he's taken over the leadership duties. He's now stepped into some great big shoes that Moses once had. Just immediately before this, we saw where they had marched around the walls of Jericho 7 times, and those walls fell as they blew the trumpet and shouted, and those walls came crumbling down, and they took over that city. But as they passed through that city, the last place they needed to go was over into the Promised Land. It was the last city they would have to conquer before they got there. There was one problem. There was the Jordan River separating them between Jordan, or between Jericho and the Promised Land. During the time that they were traveling was during the springtime. It was at harvest, and it was when, or before, and it was when all the rains had came. And so the Jordan was flooded. It was overflowing its banks. It was at its largest time of the year. And so it was blocking their entrance. It was impossible for over a million people to cross over that Jordan with it swollen like this by the rains. The Jordan did not have any bridges to cross. There was no ferries to be able to take. There was no way for a man to humanly be able to pass through here, not a million people or more. There's more than a million, probably. To pass over this place. Now, when it was not swollen, there were areas in the Jordan called fords. And it wasn't a ford escape or a ford Taurus. It was a ford in the river, and that means a place that is a little more shallow than others, where they were able to usually cross over. Well, even the fords were flooded, and so there was no way for all these folks to cross over into the land of promise. It is at this point that the children of Israel are most likely questioning the leadership of Joshua, wondering if he really had what it took to fill the shoes of Moses. Was he certain that this was God's plan? Was God really leading him like he led Moses? Because this doesn't seem like what God would want us to do is to try to pass at this time of the year. There was probably some there, thought they were smarter than the leader of the people of children of Israel. Probably took it upon themselves to tell everybody, well, if it had been me leading this group of people, I would have waited until after the springtime where the waters are lower and we're able to cross over. So this Joshua, no doubt they were questioning him. And we're going to see that in the text as we continue, because God is going to speak to him specifically and to exalt him in front of the people. And we're going to see that as we keep going. But isn't it interesting how the children of Israel have experienced all of these great miracles of God through all these years? They've heard about what God has done. They heard about their forefathers, their ancestors, crossing through the Red Sea, as Moses simply, all he had to do was stand there and hold up his staff as God parted the waters of the Red Sea and they crossed over. They know this. They saw the water come out of the rocks. They saw the manna coming from heaven to feed them. They saw the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night that led them. They saw all the things that God has done for them. But yet, in disbelief, they stand in front of the Jordan River wondering how in the world they're going to get over it. You would think by this time they would have had enough faith in God to realize that God can do all things and just been faithful to Him. Isn't it interesting how we have seen the things that God has done in our lives, and yet we still have times in our life where we are in disbelief, where we are what God often said to Peter, ye of little faith. We find ourselves that way, ye of little faith, even though we've seen what God can do. We've witnessed the miracles the Lord has made in our lives and other people's lives, but yet when it comes to those trials, we stand there and scratch our head and wonder, how is this possible? And our lack of faith shows up. Well, I think before we can really get into the thrust of this text, we need to go back to chapter 3 and look at the occasion that this is referring to. Look at Joshua chapter 3. Keep your Bibles open this morning. You're going to need them. Joshua 3. And let's look at verses 1 through 17 of why this even took place. Joshua chapter 3, starting with verse 1. The Bible says, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then shall you remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not nearer unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way heretofore. And so what we find here in our text is the children of Israel are no longer being led by that cloud by day and that pillar of fire by night. God is not, His presence is not in those things at this point. His presence now is found in His ark, the Ark of the Covenant, that God instructed them on how to build. He told them the elements to put into this ark. And so when they saw the ark of God, that was the symbol of His presence among the children of Israel. That's why you find so many things dealing with the ark, and why the enemy tried to take the ark, and how things did not work out for them when they did, and they wanted them to take it back. Why men would die if they touched the ark. That was the symbol of God's presence, was in that ark. And so now the children of Israel are instructed to keep your eye on the ark. In other words, keep your eye upon the Lord. That was the thing that they were to look to when they were thinking of the Lord and following the Lord. And so they are told to watch it from afar off. Don't go too close to it. Keep back. It told them to keep back for a certain space there, a space. There should be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. You see, with the vast amount of people that's there, if they were too close to it, they would be people not being able to see what's going on. And so they want to keep them afar off so they can all watch it from afar and be able to follow it. You see, they've never been where they're going to go. And so this is all new. Look at verse 5. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that I, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. Now here we find that God is giving His leader now. This is His sign that He's anointed Joshua as the official leader of the children of Israel. What did He say there? He said, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all of Israel. And so God is putting His special emphasis upon His man so that all the people would realize He is truly God's man. He is our leader. And God wants them to know that. They needed a leader. They needed somebody to be their intercessor. That's what Moses always was with the children of Israel, was their intercessor. He was their type of Christ. This is what Joshua now is going to take place of Moses as their type of Christ. And we're going to see that he will be the one that intercedes between God and them and the people. Look at verse 9. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Pezites and the Gershesites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. Well, here now Joshua is giving what's going to happen. He's giving them a play-by-play instructions, a snapshot of what they're to expect. The crossing of the Jordan is very similar to the crossing of the Red Sea, where God is going to do he's going to perform a miracle. That's all it is. It's a plain and simple miracle. There's no getting around it. There's no explaining it away or trying to come up with some reasoning of how this happened. And I talked about this Wednesday night. Men today, so-called brilliant scholars, they stand up and they try to explain away the miracles of God by saying, well, this may have occurred, or this over here, or there was some kind of event that happened over here. And so they don't want to give God glory or credit for the things God has done. Friends, God is going to perform a miracle here. And we give all the praise and glory to Him for it. And what Joshua is wanting them to see here, that God is going to perform this, and these waters are going to completely stop. Not only are they going to stop, but God's going to cause it. It says it go up to a great, upon a heap.
We pray that this has been a blessing to you. If you feel led to help us with the cost of the broadcast, our address is Highland Baptist Church, 6014 Bayley Road, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37924. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.